the Chicago Theater of the Air. Produced and narrated by Marion Clare, conducted by Henry Weber, written and directed by Jack LaFrandre, the Mutual Broadcasting System presents from coast to coast the Chicago Theater of the Air, radio's greatest hour of music and drama. Tonight, we're going to visit the unique world of Gilbert and Sullivan through the music and madness of The Gondoliers, a merry satire aimed at Italy, Spain, and the mythical island of Barataria. Our stars include Anja Cusack, John Carter, Ruth Slater, John Barclay, Bruce Foote, and Earl Wilkie, supported by an all-Chicago dramatic cast and the chorus under the direction of Robert Krendler. Ladies and gentlemen, before giving over our stage to a make-believe world of music and song, may we dwell for a moment on our world as it is and think of what the doctrines of these United States of America mean to us as Americans, and what these doctrines mean to millions of people in foreign lands who have hitched their hopes and ideals to our star of self-government, equal opportunity, and human tolerance. Just 86 years ago tonight, our American creed, the basic principles upon which our republic was founded, was documented in simple, beautiful, inspired language by a tall, gaunt man who stood with bowed head on the historic battlefield at Gettysburg. Thus, it is significantly appropriate tonight that we commemorate this anniversary of that sacred hour through the voice of Colonel Robert R. McCormick, outspoken American patriot, noted world historian, distinguished editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, and featured speaker of this broadcast series. Colonel McCormick's commemoration will be followed by a group of songs from the hearts of our forefathers, Civil War songs, songs that real Americans will never forget. Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Robert R. McCormick.
In these days, when so much treason is being uncovered in our government, and where more sedition than patriotism is found in our college teaching and in our school books, it is essential that the three great documents explaining our institutions should be stated and restated till everyone knows them. These documents are Patrick Henry's famous speech telling why the Revolutionary War must be fought, Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence stating the God-given rights of man, and Abraham Lincoln's reaffirmation of them in his Gettysburg Address. These three great instruments will be repeated by me every year as long as I'm on the air. Tonight I will read the Gettysburg Address, delivered 86 years ago today. 87 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, will long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we may take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
camping on the old campground.
Commemorating its 86th anniversary, Colonel Robert R. McCormick, editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, has presented Abraham Lincoln's inspired Gettysburg Address. The Chicago Theater of the Air soloists, chorus, and orchestra joined with Colonel McCormick in this significant commemoration. Free copies of the Gettysburg Address, one of the greatest of all American documents, may be obtained by writing to the Mutual Broadcasting System, Chicago 11, Illinois. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our stage is given over to the lighthearted world of Gilbert and Sullivan and tonight's Chicago Theater of the Air production of The Gondoliers. Our stars, Anja Cusack, John Carter, Ruth Slater, John Barclay, Bruce Foote, and Earl Wilkie. Our conductor, Henry Weber, and our narrator, Marion Clare. The Chicago Theater of the Air presents The Gondoliers by W.S. Gilbert and Sir Arthur Sullivan.
We find ourselves in dreamy Venice, a rotogravure sort of Venice, with gondolas gliding along the blue canals, neath a papier-mâché moon in a velveteen sky. Standing before the palace of the Grand Inquisitor is a group of most attractive young maidens, their arms laden with flowers, their eyes watching the arrival of each gondola with great expectancy. Judging from these exclamations of delight, it is obvious that the awaited gondola has arrived. Out of this gondola step two dashing gondoliers, Marco and Giuseppe Palmieri by name. The purpose of their visit is to choose two brides from among the fair candidates awaiting them.
For the merriest fellows are we. With loving and laughing and quipping and quaffing, we're happy as happy can be. With loving and laughing and quipping and quaffing, we're happy as happy can be.
Maids, for whom prepare ye these floral tributes extraordinary?
For Giuseppe and Marco Palmieri,
the pink and flower of the gondolieri.
Giuseppe, my brother, the girls rejoice.
Ah, oh, brother Marco, they await our choice.
Buongiorno, signorine.
Such a prize, Janetta, I'd hate to lose.
recall Gondolieri, but that's a vagary. It's quite honorary, the trade that we ply. When vespers are ringing to hope ever clinging, with songs of our singing, a vigil we keep. When daylight is fading, and wrapped in my shading, with soft serenading, we sing them to sleep. With soft serenading, we sing them, to sleep. With soft serenading, we sing them to sleep. Gondolieri, gondolieri, la 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 la.
Now to choose our brides. As all are young and fair and amiable besides,
we really do not care a preference to declare.
Oh, no preference.
These handkerchiefs upon our eyes, be good enough to bind.
And take good care that both of us are absolutely blind.
All right. There. And there.
Now, turn us round and we, with all convenient dispatch,
will undertake to marry any two of you we can. Hold, everyone! Hold! I've at last achieved a capture.
Marco's caught me. Oh, rapture, rapture.
And Tessa here belongs to me.
Oh, Giuseppe, such sweet reverie.
Viva Tessa! Viva Gietta!
Spanish flavor is added to this spicy tale as a rather pretentious gondola stops before the Grand Inquisitor's palace and discharges a very ragged but quite regal entourage. Behold, the Duke and Duchess of Plaza Toro, the lovely daughter Casilda, and a menial named Louis, who carries, of all things, a drum. Ah, the plot thickens.
From the sunny Spanish shore, the Duke of Plaza Toro
and his grace the Duchess true, and his grace the daughter too,
and as grace as private drummer, to Venetia's shores have come, to Venetia's shores have come.
Neither that grandee from the Spanish shore, the noble Duke of Clazator,
nor his grace is such a staunch and true, who may add his grace's daughter too.
Nor his grace's own particular drummer, to Venetia's shores have come, to Venetia's shores have come.
I had no idea that Venice was such a long trip from Spain.
Well, anyway, Mother, it's over now. At least we've arrived safely.
And high time, too. Where is our servant? Louise, where are you?
I am here, Your Grace.
Louise, where is the band that was to have had the honor of escorting us to the Grand Inquisitor's palace? I see no band.
Your Grace, musicians are sordid persons who insist upon being paid in advance.
The idea. Who'd ever think of paying a musician at all? They seem so happy with their music.
Some Venetian must have organized them. Louise, be so good as to ring the Grand Inquisitor's bell and inform him that His Grace, the Duke of Plazatoro, Count Matadoro, Baron Picadoro, and all my many other titles, have come
I understand. At once, Your Grace.
Now, my dear, shall we tell our daughter the secret?
Yes. Yes, I think it is high time.
Secret? What secret, Father?
Casilda, my child, prepare for a magnificent surprise. When you were a prattling babe of 6 months old, you were married by proxy to no less a personage than the royal infant, the immeasurably wealthy King of Barataria.
What? Married to the infant King of Barataria? Father, that was a most unpardonable liberty.
Consider his extreme youth at the time and forgive him. Shortly after the wedding, the infant king was kidnapped and brought here to the household of the Grand Inquisitor. We have come to ascertain the whereabouts of your husband.
Yes, my child, and to kneel before you as Her Majesty, the reigning Queen of Barataria.
Your Majesty, my daughter. It is such moments as these that one feels how necessary it is to travel with a full orchestra.
The Queen of Barataria. Oh, but I've nothing to wear. We are absolutely penniless.
Our wealth will be quite replenished when we have found your husband, my child. Oh, how fortunate you are that your father is a great and noble leader of men. Your inheritance will stand you in good stead when you occupy Barataria's throne.
Indeed, I was not aware of father's gifts of leadership.
Your father will be only too happy to describe them for you, Casilda.
The enterprise of martial kind, when there was any fighting, he led his regiment from behind, he found it less exciting. But when away his regiment ran, his place was at the fore. Oh, that celebrated, cultivated, underrated noble when the Duke of Clazator.
In the first and foremost fight, you always found that night. That celebrated, cultivated, underrated noble when the Duke of Clazator.
When to evade destruction's hand to hide, they all proceeded. No soldier in that gallant band hid half as well as he did. He lay concealed throughout the war and so preserved his goro. That unaffected, undetected, well-connected warrior, Duke of Plazatoro.
In every job he did, he always took the lead. Unaffected,
when told that they would all be shot unless they left the service, that hero hesitated not, so marvelous his nerve is. He sent his resignation in the first of all his coro, that very knowing, overflowing, easygoing paladin, Duke of Plazatoro.
To gain the first day, he always showed the way. That very knowing, overflowing, easygoing paladin, Duke of Plazatoro. That very knowing, overflowing, easygoing paladin, Duke of Plazatoro.
Q.
Casilda, Casilda.
Oh, Louis, you shouldn't have followed me into the garden. We might be seen.
Never fear. Your father and mother have audience with the Grand Inquisitor. We are quite alone. Kiss me, Casilda.
Oh, Louis, this must be our last embrace.
What?
I have just learned, to my surprise and indignation, that I was wed in babyhood to the King of Barataria.
Married as a baby? Wasn't that rather rushing into things?
To think that less than 10 minutes ago, we belonged to each other, Louis.
Somehow, woe is me. It was not right.
Casilda, let us dwell in the past.
There was a time forever gone. Oh, woe is me. It was no crime to love but be alone. Oh, woe is me. One heart, one life, one soul, one aim, one goal. Each in the other's thrall, each all in all. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me.
Here you are, my child.
Oh, yes, Father. I was just admiring the garden.
My daughter, allow me to present to you His Distinction, Don Alejandro Bolero, the Grand Inquisitor.
So this is the little lady so unexpectedly called upon to assume the functions of royalty, huh? Firm a figure, is she not?
Firm, indeed.
Your distinction, such keen powers of observation would qualify you as Lord High Hosiery Inspector of Venice.
Thank you, my dear. I shall take that office under serious consideration at my next meeting with myself.
Unfortunately, Casilda, there appears to be some little doubt as to your husband's, his Majesty's whereabouts.
A doubt, Mother? Then I may yet be saved?
A doubt? Oh, dear, no. In the entire annals of our history, there is absolutely no circumstance so entirely free from all manner of doubt of any kind whatever.
Stole the prince and I brought him here and left him gaily prattling with a highly respectable gondolier who promised the royal babe to rear and teach him the trade of a timonier with his own beloved bratling. Both of the babes were strong and stout and considering all things clever. Of that there is no manner of doubt, no probable possible shadow of doubt, no possible doubt whatever.
No possible doubt whatever.
Time sped, and when at the end of a year I sought that infant cherished, that highly respectable gondolier was lying a corpse on his humble bier, I dropped a grand inquisitor's tear. That gondolier had perished. A taste for drink combined with gout had doubled him up forever. Of that there is no manner of doubt, no probable possible shadow of doubt, no possible doubt whatever.
No possible doubt whatever.
The children followed his old career. This statement can't be parried. Of a highly respectable gondolier, well, one of the two who will soon be here. But which of the two is not quite clear is the royal prince you married. Search in and out and round about, and you'll discover never a tale so free from every doubt, all probable possible shadow of doubt, all possible doubt whatever.
A tale so free from every doubt, all probable possible shadow of doubt, all possible doubt whatever.
Your distinction. Do you mean to say that I am married to one of the two gondoliers, but that it is impossible to say which?
Without any doubt of any kind whatever. It is definitely either Marco or Giuseppe Palmieri. The nurse to whom your husband was entrusted is at present living far off in the mountains. I have sent for her, and if she finds any difficulty in making identification, perhaps the torture chamber will jog her memory.
What a perfectly delightful state of utmost confusion for a bride to be in.
By wind I know we can never stay them out, I say, not stay. Why should we in vain endeavor this and this and this again?
Life's a pudding full of plums,
to the canker that we numb.
Life's a pudding full of plums,
to the canker that we numb.
Therefore, without any more fusion, and if parting won't solution, life's a weathered institution. Let us take it as it comes. Let us take it as it comes.
On the ship to spend the stable, and the cross of doubt and bitter, life's perhaps the only riddle that we shrink from giving up. Life's perhaps the only riddle that we shrink from giving up.
Then take it all as it comes. Take it all as it comes. Take the life, take the fun, take the sorrow, take the sun. Take life as it comes.
Again, back to the gondoliers. A double marriage ceremony has just been performed. Marco and Giuseppe Palmieri have taken as brides the lovely maidens Tessa and Giannetta, and there are great plans for the future.
When a merry maiden marries, sorrow, gold, and pleasure tarries. Every sound becomes a song, all is right and nothing's wrong. From today and ever after, let our tears be tears of laughter. Every sigh that finds a vent, be a
greetings, good people. Festivities of some sort going on, I perceive.
That's correct. A little family gathering.
Somebody's birthday.
Yes, it's mine.
And mine.
And mine.
And mine.
Curious coincidence. How old are you?
10 minutes.
How quickly you age.
We were married about 10 minutes ago.
You're... What? All of you?
All four of us.
Well, bless my heart. How extremely awkward.
And now, my good man, if your curiosity is satisfied, run along.
Oh, my back. How dare you call me your good man? Sirs, I am his distinction, the Grand Inquisitor, Don Alhambra Bolero. I am here to inform you that one of you, I know not which, is no less a personage than the King of Barataria.
What?
And I trust the king is one of you who slapped me on the back and called me his man.
One of us a king?
And one of us a queen?
As the island of Barataria is in a state of insurrection, it is necessary for you to assume the reins of government at once. And until it is ascertained which of you is the rightful king, I have arranged for you to reign jointly so that no question can arise hereafter as to the validity of any of your acts.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, the sooner we're off, the better. I'll run home and pack a few things at once.
Oh, no. That won't do at all. We can't have any ladies.
What?
It does seem awkward, but you must leave your wives at home until the rightful queen has been, for a few months. After all, what's a few months?
But we've only been married for half an hour.
Say you cannot have the heart, how life to part from those who whom an hour ago we were united. Before our flowing hearts you speak, and look at them and pause before you deal this blow, all uninvited. You men can never understand that heart and hand cannot be separated when we grow a yearning. You see, you've only women's eyes to idolize, only women's hearts for men to set you back. Oh, me, you men will never understand that woman's heart is one with
do not give way to this uncalled for grief. Your separation will be very brief. To ascertain which is the king and which the other, I'll bring to Barataria's court his foster mother. Her former nursling to declare she'll be delighted. That settled, let each happy pair be reunited.
Be a queen and sit on a golden throne, with a crown instead of a hat on her head and diamonds all her own, with a beautiful robe of gold and green. I've always understood. I wonder whether she'll wear a feather. I rather think she should.
Oh, it's very thick, I wait to be a regular royal queen. No half and half a fair, I mean no half and half a fair, but a right now regular royal queen.
Whenever she condescends to walk, be sure she'll shine at that, with a haughty stare and a nose in the air like a well-born aristocrat. At elegant high society talk, she'll bear away the bell with her how-de-do and her how-are-you. And I trust I see you well.
Oh, it's very thick, I wait to be a regular royal queen. No half and half a fair, I mean no half and half a fair, but a right down regular royal queen. Oh, tis a glorious thing, I mean, to be a regular royal queen, a right down regular royal queen.
Thank you.
glissando vivace, we leave Venice and skip across the sea to the court of Barataria. The gondoliers, Marco and Giuseppe, are seated on twin thrones, perfectly magnificently attired, engaged in cleaning their crowns and scepters. As his distinction, the Grand Inquisitor, approaches, a pair of frowns may be perceived, enveloping their cherubic countenances.
My word, such splendid examples. Perfect specimens of monocle magnificence.
My dear Inquisitor, we are reasonably content. But there is one little grievance that we should like to ventilate.
Ventilate? Air, that is. A grievance?
It is all very well for us to act as one individual, but we have two independent appetites, and the court supplies us with but a single ration.
An exacting point. But remember, one of you is a commoner and not entitled to eat.
Yes, but until it is established as to which one of us is commoner than the other, can't some nutritional arrangement be made?
I think you may take double rations as long as you post bonds. But of course, you must work hard to justify the extra sustenance.
That seems quite reasonable, Marco.
Oh, very reasonable. The least we can do is to make ourselves useful about the palace.
Rising early in the morning, we proceed to light the fire. Then our majesty adorning in its workaday attire, we embark without delay on the duties of the day. First we polish off some batches of political dispatches and foreign politicians circumvent. Then if business isn't heavy, we may hold a royal levy or ratify some acts of parliament. Then we probably reuse the house of troops with the usual shallow hoops, or receive with ceremonial and state an interesting Eastern potentate. After that, we generally go and dress a private valley. It's a rather nervous duty. He's a touchy little man. Write some letters literary for our private secretary. He is shaky in his spelling, so we help him as we can. Then in view of cravings inner, we go down and order dinner. Then we polish the regalia and the coronation plate. Spend an hour in titivating all our gentlemen in waiting, or we run a little errands for the ministers of state. Philosophers may sing of the troubles of a king, yet the duties are delightful and the privilege is great. But the privilege and pleasure that we treasure beyond measure is to run a little errands for the ministers of state.
It was quite considerate of the Inquisitor to arrange for double rations, was it not?
Quite considerate. Now, if only our wives were with us, our happiness could be quite complete.
Take a pair of sparkling eyes, hidden ever and anon, in a merciful eclipse. Do not heed their mild surprise, having passed the Rubicon. Take a pair of rosy lips. Take a figure trimly bland, such as admiration whets. Be particular in this. Take a tender little hand, pinch with dainty fingerettes. Press it, press it. In parentheses, take all these, you lucky man. Take and keep them if you can. If you can, take all these, you lucky man. Take and keep them if you can. If you can. Take my counsel, happy man. Act upon it if you can. If you can, if you can. Act upon it if you can. Happy man. If you can.
Marco, the fates have heard us, our wives.
Giannetta.
Marco.
Tessa.
Giuseppe.
This is indeed a delightful surprise.
We thought you'd like it. After you left, we felt very dull and mopey, and the days crawled by, and you never wrote. So at last I said to Janetta, I can't stand this any longer. Those two poor monarchs haven't got anyone to mend their stockings or sew on their buttons or patch their clothes. At least I hope they haven't. So let's pack up and see how they're getting on. And she said, done, and all the girls said, done. We asked old Jacopo to lend us his boat, and he said, done. We crossed the sea, and thank goodness that's done, and here we are, and I've done.
And now, which of you is king?
And which of us is queen?
We won't know until that nurse turns up. But the question is, how shall we celebrate our honeymoon? Will you allow us to offer you a magnificent banquet?
We will!
Thank you very much. And may I suggest a dance?
A banquet and a dance. Oh, this is too much happiness.
Your Majesty, fancy ball going on?
Well, not exactly your distinction.
A little friendly dance, that's all.
Well, it pains me to interrupt, but His Grace, the Duke of Plaza Toro, Her Grace, the Duchess, and their beautiful daughter, Casilda, have arrived at Barataria and will be here at any moment.
The Duke of Plaza Toro? How does he concern us?
Ah, the daughter. The beautiful daughter. Ah, you're a lucky fellow, one of you.
Your distinction. I find you an extremely incomprehensible old gentleman.
Allow me to attempt elucidation.
Well, here, sit on my throne and have some tea and crumpets.
Yes, thank you. Many years ago, when you, whichever you are, were a baby, you, whichever you are, were married to the beautiful Casilda. I congratulate you, whichever you are, with all my heart.
Married when a baby?
Will you pass the jam, if you please?
But we were married 3 months ago.
Gooseberry. One of you, whichever you are, is a bigamist.
A bigamist?
Oh, dear me, your wives. This complicates matters.
Do you mean to say that one of these monarchs was already married?
An infant romance, you understand. Romper love.
But which of us is married to which of them, and what's to become of the other?
You will not be kept long in suspense, for the old lady who nursed the royal child will soon be here to make the identification. Will you pass the jam again, please?
Well, it seems that two husbands have managed to acquire three wives. That's 2/3 of a husband to each wife.
I hate arithmetic.
Behold, behold, the Duke and Duchess of Plaza Toro and their beautiful daughter, Casilda.
With ducal pomp and ducal pride, and now this comical death of promise. She comes to claim the royal heart.
Giuseppe?
Yes, my dear.
Gentlemen, it is only right to tell you that, not knowing I was married in infancy, I am over head and ears in love with Louis. He's a servant in our household.
Louis! Oh, horror.
Forgive me, Mother. Forgive me, Father.
We are over ears and head in love, too, Casilda, with our wives.
Your wives? Then you are married?
Married? My word.
It's not our fault, you know. Of course not. We are sisters in misfortune.
Hawkey, one and all. The time has come. Behold the nurse who can identify His Royal Highness.
The infant king was once entrusted to my fond care ere I grew old and crusted. When traitors came to steal this heir reputed, another lad I substituted. The villains fell into the trap completely. I hid the king, still sleeping sweetly. He became the duke's servant, with pardonable slyness. His name, Louis, His Royal Highness.
Louis!
Husband in babyhood. The king of Barataria is my own true love.
Casilda, Casilda, my own.
Giuseppe, oh, Giuseppe.
Ah, Tessa, Tessa, my own.
Marco, oh, Marco.
Janetta, my own Janetta. Well, it seems that everything has ended quite satisfactorily. Of that, there can be no shadow of a doubt. No possible doubt whatever. Will you pass the jam, please?
Narrated by Marion Clare, conducted by Henry Weber, written and directed by Jack LaFrandre, the Chicago Theater of the Air has presented The Gondoliers by Gilbert and Sullivan, starring Anja Cusack, John Carter, Bruce Foote, Ruth Slater, John Barclay, and Earl Wilkie. Featured speaker was Colonel Robert R. McCormick. Robert Trendler was in charge of the chorus. In synchronized speaking roles tonight were Sandra Guerre as Casilda, Elmira Ressler as Janetta, Muriel Bremner as Tessa, Hope Summers as the Duchess, Everett Clark as Giuseppe, Jonathan Hole as Marco, Norman Gottschalk as Luis, and Carl Kroenke as the Inquisitor. This is Lee Bennett cordially inviting you to next week's Chicago Theater of the Air production, The Vagabond King, starring Nancy Carr, Thomas L. Thomas, and Gloria Lane. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.